Imagine loving your life after 50 and feeling energized and excited about your future. Welcome to the Women in the Middle podcast, the podcast for women who are ready to figure out what they want and create the life they deserve. Here's your host and master certified life coach, Susie Rosenstein.
Hey there, this week we're talking about cultivating relationships and life and business to enrich midlife. Let's go. Welcome back to the podcast, Women in the Middle. I'm your host, Susie Rosenstein, your master certified coach and midlife mentor. And as usual, I am so glad to be here with you again. So my guest today is amazing, and she's going to shed a lot of light and perspective on the people in your life and your relationships with them. But just quick, before we get going, I want to invite you to have a breakthrough. Now, sometimes it can be hard to even imagine what it might be like on the other side of your breakthrough to getting unstuck and clear about what you want at your age. It can be very strange not to have clarity about this when you've had clarity about this most of your life, or at least a lot of it. So I want to offer an easy way to start moving in that direction. You can give yourself the jumpstart you need in the form of a happiness breakthrough coaching session. It's a 2-hour private coaching call that's basically a deep dive into what's getting into the way of your clarity. We can coach on anything you need to make a breakthrough because, my friend, I have a feeling you're tired of wasting valuable time. It feels so amazing to get clarity and start moving forward. So head over to www.nextchapterbreakthrough.com. I have a few spots open now, and one of them can be yours. Okay, now let's dive into this week's topic, which is about cultivating relationships in midlife on purpose. My guest today is Katarina Rando. Katarina empowers women to embrace their true selves, follow their dreams, and build thriving businesses. She believes in the power of women entrepreneurs, teaching them to confidently express their unique value and achieve unprecedented success. As a sought-after speaker, coach, host of retreats, and author, Katarina uplifts others with her wisdom. Her generosity, positivity, and integrity are at the heart of everything she does. And I have to say, this is true, and I'm not exaggerating. She's also a philanthropist leading the Thriving Women in Business Giving community to support education and entrepreneurship for women. Katarina is founder of the Thriving Women in Business Center and Community. I know you're going to love meeting her, so please enjoy this episode. Hi, Katarina. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Women in the Middle podcast.
I'm blessing to be with you.
I am so happy you're here. You know, one of my favorite things about having this online business is, especially the podcast, I meet so many interesting people. And I met you by you coming in for an interview on the new podcast, Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs. And we kind of like totally hit it off. And now you can't get rid of me. I'm very much a part of your world.
Yay! Which makes me so happy.
Me too. So as I got to know you, I started to realize that you have a very interesting story. I am so fascinated by how people make decisions and how they start to get insight into their passion and what it is they really want. So I know your story is super interesting. You were an entrepreneur for a long time. So let's hear what was going on for you as you were in your, you know, career trajectory, and then how you started to get ideas about what you wanted to do instead. Take it away.
Well, let me say this. I'm second generation Italian American. My grandparents came through Ellis Island, and my one grandfather was a shoemaker and my other grandfather owned a grocery store. Now, my parents both went to college and were the first in their families to go to college and got regular jobs. My mom was a school teacher. My dad was a mechanical engineer, and they're still around. They're 92. My dad was a mechanical engineer. So even though I grew up in a J-O-B household, their roots were entrepreneurial, and they both had side hustles before we even had the term side hustle. Mm. My dad had a laundromat, coin laundromat. My mom sold Italian t-shirts, like novelties. The luckiest people marry Italians. The nicest people have a root in the boot. So my mom had this whole big novelty Italian business for like festivals and fundraisers for Italian groups around the country. So they both you know, wanted me to go to college, wanted me to get a good job. But what I saw in my house was that they were having a lot of fun. And my mom was having a lot of fun. My dad was making a lot of extra coin at his coin laundromat. So I was very drawn to entrepreneurship. And when I was in college, my sister opened a cafe. And after some years, she decided that she didn't like being in the food business and she moved on. And so I took over the business with another woman. And in the beginning, Susie, I loved it. I loved chatting with the customers all day long. I loved knowing everybody in the neighborhood. I make the best cappuccino you ever met in your life. But, you know, at some point I realized, hey, I don't want to make sandwiches for a living, right? I don't want to schlep big catering trays across town. And I was trying to figure out, what's my thing? What do I want to do with my life? And then one day this lady comes in my cafe and she thanks me for some business advice. And her gratitude literally touched my heart. I felt a pang of bliss in my chest. And I said, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. And so I had a business coach at the time. This is in the early years of coaching. And she thought I would make a good coach.
How old were you then?
I was in my late 20s. I was probably about 27. And, you know, now I'm a confident woman. I speak a lot. But at the time, I was very shy and very insecure, as most of us are in that stage of life. And so I started to shift into my new business, but really sales was very different. When you have a cafe, you want some clients, you just turn on the lights and open the door, right?
Mm.
But with this, I, you know, would go networking and everyone was more experienced. And that's when I started to speak. And as you know, here we are 30 years later, and I'm still a big advocate for speaking. And so that desire to help women really had me start my business.
Wow. So I'm still stuck on somebody, you know, noticed at such a young age before 30 that you had such insightful business advice.
Well, what I can tell you, Susie, it's really funny. My dad tells me when I was a kid, like when I was like 6 years old, the other kids on the block would come to me for advice. Now, I'm not sure why or how. I certainly don't remember those conversations, but maybe because being a good listener is a big part of it. And I've always had a big heart and genuinely caring and not judging people. And, you know, also, I mean, I was raised in a traditional Italian-American family in that we talked a lot about helping people. We talked a lot about how fortunate we were, you know, and my mom was such a, she loved teaching so much and she loved helping all the children. So I got great modeling in my household for how to be kind and supportive. And it's very much my nature. And so, you know, when we talk about coaching, business coaching, it's not just give me some super tips. Here's some consulting. Here's some things to do. And I do, I would say I really do as much consulting as I do coaching, but it's also about being a cheerleader and having everyone feel seen and heard and valued and welcomed. And so a lot of that was just my nature. And once I got a little bit more confidence, I was more successful. And that's why I started to speak, because I would rather speak in front of an audience than have to, you know, talk to people like at a cocktail party or something.
It's so interesting because, you know, I'm sure people listening know that speaking is one of the things that is really scary to so many people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what they tell me. I will say, you know, the thing about it is the more you do it, the better you get. And really the, not only the more masterful, but the more comfortable you get with it. And, you know, these days, my friends, I'm doing hundreds of hours with Zoom a year on, if not thousands of speaking hours. And that's the same thing. I'm sure your listeners, you know, they're thinking about making a change in their life. And it's, you know, it's in the beginning, it's more challenging. The more we get into it, the more we get to the place of ease. And then eventually we get to the place of bliss. And that's where I am today. I'm blissing in my business. I'm blissing in my midlife. And I want more women to have that experience.
So good. You know, I have to just keep going back to that decision-making point just for one more question. Because honestly, what I hear so often is that women say they don't know what they're passionate about. I don't know what I want. And it's so interesting because we just would assume that we know what we want, that if it's something we want, it should be easier to access that insight. You know, it just seems like it should be obvious. So when it's not obvious, we start to believe that we're not good at it or that we don't have the ability to figure it out. Like when that happened to me in my 5-year stuck story, I was like, I got to have a smarter person, a friend, somebody who's wiser. Somebody must know what I want more than I know myself. So you had a little bit of external validation when you got that compliment. I wonder what would have happened if you wouldn't have had that person share that about you. Do you think you would have accessed it on your own?
I had this coach already who was telling me that I would be a good coach. And she was, Laura Whitworth was her name. She was one of the founders of the Coaches Training Institute. So she was a huge coaching cheerleader. And I think I would have gotten there, just not as quickly, right, Susie. You know, I think I wanted to be an actress. That's the other thing I wanted to be. But the thing about being a speaker is you get to be your own actress, your own director, your own writer. So for me, it's a lot more fun. I think that a lot of women, and that's a perfect example, like they know what they want. They just either don't have the courage or they don't believe in themselves enough to do it. I mean, you know, I never moved to Hollywood. I never pursued getting an agent or any of these things that people do when they really want to become an actress. And the reason, and it's not that I probably couldn't have figured it out, it's that I didn't think that I could be, you know, one of the 1%, right? But when we talk about coaching or consulting or even entrepreneurship, I feel like, yeah, I can be the top of my field. I have massive value to bring and I can have massive impact through my work. And of course, I can say that today. I don't know if I thought that way back when.
That would have been crazy if you did at that age. Right. That's confidence. Right. Oh my God.
But you know, entrepreneurship, I saw the joy of entrepreneurship around me. And that definitely, and a lot of people haven't seen that. I've been to places where nobody's an entrepreneur.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing though about having that insight and this idea of knowing what you want, it starts with the belief that you are capable of knowing what you want. And I find that I didn't have that. Like I was honestly not just looking out the window, but really looking to other friends and having more faith in their ability to give me that information. I didn't think, it's the craziest thing for me to think about it now, but I really didn't feel capable of figuring out on my own. It was before I knew anything about coaching, even though I have a psychology background. It was so weird. I didn't have that belief that I could know myself like that. It's so weird.
It really is. But you know, I'm going to say this. Sometimes we are so good at something that we don't think people get paid for that or I can monetize that because it doesn't feel like work. Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so one of the things is to ask the people in our life, you know, if I was going to pick another career, you were going to pick for me, what would you pick? What do you think I would be good at? And to ask them, or what kind of business do you think I'd want to start? You know, I know in my next life, I'm probably going to be a personal stylist or something, you know, cause I like, accessories and clothing and all that kind of thing. And I get to, you know, I get to do that a little bit in my business too. You know, I'm going on a retreat next week with some of my clients and I've picked out all the swag, you know, the nice totes and the jewelry and stuff, but the people around us see what we would be good at. And so we can always ask.
That's true. Asking for extra input is one thing. I was asking for all of the input. But you're right. I remember when I got laid off from my job, we have a friend who's a real estate agent, and he reached out and he said, you know, Susie, you've got these skills. Is real estate anything you've ever thought about? And I was just so taken aback that he recognized what I thought were soft skills of communication, enthusiasm, you know, just being really comfortable with people.
Sure. Yeah.
In my mind, they seemed like soft skills, but I've really noticed that too, is that when midlife women are looking for what else they can do, they really do discount things that are so easy to them, and mm-hmm. other people view it as such a gift or such a talent.
Right. Right. And that's exactly what I'm saying, Susie. People don't realize, oh, this could be a business, or I could make money at this, you know, or have a career change, because they don't see it as a superpower because it's so easy for them.
Yeah. Now, when you were starting this business, the whole online world was not where it was today.
Oh,
it is now. Like, was it even?
No, I mean, we had email and, you know, oh, I did get a website right when websites came out. But no, I had already been doing business. So it was a lot of speaking and networking live and in person. And of course, as you know, today we have business all over the US and Canada. Bing, bing, bing.
Yay.
Because of Zoom. But you know, I used to, and I want to, if I can speak to this, Susie, I used to have this limiting belief that, you know, hey, I got to be able to break bread with my clients, you know, got to be able to take them to lunch or, you know, get together for dinner. And so I really focused on, I live in San Francisco, so I'm on the edge of the continent. So I focused on 3 area codes north and 3 area codes south and 2 area codes east. And that's where I worked my business. And then, of course, when the pandemic hit, you know, we got to embrace Zoom. And I was already doing hybrid, but I got to embrace it even more. And that really catapulted my business. And it is so wonderful to now have friends all over the US and clients all over the US. And it's so good for business. And, you know, I'm a big advocate, Susie, of community, right? For cultivating community. I love it.
Well, tell us why you think speaking and community are so important to business building.
Yeah. And to life building.
Yes.
I want to say, because we're on, this is the midlife discussion today.
Yes.
You know, I used to have this fear that I'm going to be, because I'm single now, I'm divorced. And I got divorced at 51. I used to have this fear that I'm going to be in my little apartment with my Formica table and a cat sipping milk, and I'm going to be all by myself, you know, a sad old lady. But then now I don't have that fear so much anymore, because I realize I know how to get the ladies together, and I know how to cultivate community.
And we do.
Yeah. And so that is something. And Susie, that's a perfect example. A lot of women are monetizing that as their business, hosting events, hosting gatherings, hosting retreats. They're having a great time. They're building community. And it doesn't even have to be like, let's go to the fancy place. It could be gals getting together in your living room, you know?
It's so true. And I have to say, it's one of the things that surprised me coming into the midlife space. So I was laid off the year I turned 50, and I had been at that job for 19 years in 27 years of a career in public health and health education and all that stuff. And I remember in the early years, there were more opportunities to go to conferences and have additional education, professional education. And then as the decades wore on, there were way fewer opportunities to do that sort of thing. I have been absolutely blown away at the relationships I've been able to make, professional and the ones that have gone much deeper. I have more friends and contacts than I've ever had in my life at 60. Yeah. And as part of the Women in the Middle Academy, this whole relationships and being intentional about relationships is one of the areas that we really focus on. And it has been, well, it's based on a fear that people don't have the friends, that they're going to grow old and be alone. They don't have the kind of deep friendships they thought they might have. They may have grown out of some friendships. Lots of things have changed. And we kind of forget how to make friends sometimes. We're so uncomfortable in those settings anymore. And I challenge myself whenever I'm in a group. Well, your groups are easy because you kind of force us to do stuff, which is great.
That's right, my friend.
Force in a loving way. But sometimes, like when I'm in a, you know, just a typical group, when I feel myself connecting with somebody, like somebody is saying things that I think are funny or I'm really relating to, I make a note. I type it out, you know, in my notes, and I make a note to have at least one in-depth relationship, at least one, while I'm experiencing that group over 6 months or a year or whatever. And it has really been amazing. Like, I've definitely developed new friends from all over the world just by doing that, because it's overwhelming to think, oh my God, who am I going to talk to? There's all these amazing people here. I don't even know where to start. And why would they even like me? So instead, I do a little stalking. And eventually they fall in love too. And it's really been fun. So cultivating community.
Yes. And life enriching, you know, it's
yes.
Life enriching.
So true. And it's exciting. You know, remember how much we loved new friends when
yes.
we were in elementary school and junior high, like, oh, especially elementary school when we weren't quite as concerned about judgment. We were more ourselves. Oh, it was delightful. It was just so delightful to have a new girlfriend.
Well, I feel that way all the time now too, you know, and I know you're going on your retreat very soon, which I'm definitely going to be at the next one. My friend, did you get those dates yet?
Working on it.
Okay. because I'm doing my retreat at the same time. And, you know, I have gals coming that have been my client that I haven't met in person, but
right.
They're like BFFs, right? And I'm a part of other communities where I'm meet gals and then we get to visit maybe once a year or maybe never in person, but they're really rich, rich, rich relationships. And I do want to emphasize with your listeners, my friend, that, you know, I want all women to cultivate the skill of getting the ladies together. And all it really requires is your ability to reach out and invite people to come and do something. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be, hey, we're having pizza night. Hey, we're having afternoon tea. Hey, we're going to go for a hike. You know, whatever it is, to always invite people to go where you're going, if you're going somewhere else, or invite them to something that you're curating yourself. And that is a way to have friends, make friends, connect with friends for life. And of course, if you're like me and you are doing business, I feel like all I do in my business is make girlfriends and of course help them too in their business, but I get to make girlfriends first, and it's good for my business and it's good for my heart.
You are so right. And honestly, it's your superpower doing this that drew me in. I felt I was kind of magnetized to you.
Thank you.
I'm like, she's reeling me in. I can't even help it. And I'm smiling. I'm like, yeah, take me with you. I love what you're doing. And I noticed it when I met you on Zoom interviewing. And then I went to one of your events, and I have never seen anybody run a meeting like you run a meeting, which it doesn't feel like a meeting. It feels
That's
like a
good.
Hybrid. It's not quite a meeting. I mean, there's an agenda, but it's more fun. It is, it's guided. Like, you're definitely moving us to do certain things.
Yeah.
Because not every, well, first of all, in that situation, you need to be guided. Otherwise, uh-huh. Everybody would be doing whatever. But uh-huh. we forget that it is appropriate and encouraged to also make the first move and do the inviting and yeah. not just wait to be invited.
Oh my gosh, my friend, if I waited to be invited, I would never go anywhere. I don't get a lot of invitations. And I think people think I'm too busy or my life is too full. And I think that's an important thing for women to note, you know. Sometimes people think, "Oh, well, she's got a family, she's got kids, she's got grandkids. She probably won't be available." But the thing is, invite her anyway, you know? Because also there's tremendous value in having someone say to you, "I'm sorry, I can't make it. And thank you for thinking of me." You know, just to know that someone's, "Hey, my friend, you want to come? I'm going to this thing." That feels good. And that's good for our relationships.
So powerful. And there are so many reasons why you might want more people in your life, especially post-COVID. I am craving relationships and being with people again and just being relaxed. Last night we were with four people we didn't really know. And it was so interesting. My son is in a new house with two roommates, and they invited the three sets of parents for dinner.
Oh,
you know, they're in their 20s. It was delightful. It was delightful. And I'd met the parents just like, hi, you know, a little bit high, a little bit, how are you, over the years with dropping off or whatever, picking up. But I didn't ever have a conversation to talk to them. And my son was always telling me, you have a lot in common with these parents. And we did. It was such an easygoing.
Wonderful.
Such an easygoing evening. Okay. So cultivating friends for life is good. It's a good skill for so many reasons, including business, but definitely to enrich your life. And as midlife women, it's a need. It's a need to get better at it and to focus more on it, for sure. Now, tell us more. Oh, go ahead. And I was going to ask you about speaking and how that.
Okay, good. Yeah. And I want to mention about social capital. Okay.
Yes.
So women have social capital and they often don't realize it. And what is social capital? It's like, you know, everybody that knows you from afternoon pickup, or the people in your neighborhood, or the people at your local cafe, or whatever it is, people that know you, those relationships matter, and that you can use them to make connections, get whatever you need. You know, I mean, if I go to my sister's cafe and I say, hey, I need a seamstress in the area, somebody's going to have one for me. Or, you know, my next door neighbor referred his handyman to me. I mean, we want to cultivate all kinds of relationships personally and professionally. And that social capital means that we can get our phone calls returned, or we can get, you know, people to give money for our kids' fundraiser or whatever it is. And that to see that as a powerful tool, because women have it already, and we amplify it by doing what you're saying, invite people to go where we're going, creating opportunities for people to get together.
Bingo. So good. Okay. Now speaking, why did you zone in on speaking? Yeah. There's a million things you can do, and speaking seems to be the scariest one. So how did that become so obvious to you?
It's so funny, because at some point I realized I'm probably speaking because I know then I have permission to speak if I'm the speaker, because I think I was so shy that, you know, I would be in a meeting and I wouldn't necessarily speak up, but if I got to be the speaker, then okay, bing, bing, somebody's giving me the floor and I get to talk. The other reason why speaking is so important is we get to build Insta influence and Insta rapport. So we could be in a group of 30 people for networking, but we're not necessarily going to meet everybody. And even if we do meet everybody, like with a brief introduction, they don't necessarily have an experience of the massive value we have to bring. But when we present, they get a sense of our massive value. And so that means we're building Insta influence, which means when we reach out to them after, which we do want to reach out to them, and I'm going to say, my friend Susie, right after, okay?
That's what I learned. One of the many things I learned from Katarina.
Then we reach out to them right after, and now they're receptive to our reach out because we've built some influence, even just a little bit. You know, we're not saying, hey, you want to buy my stuff? We're saying, hey, let's stay connected. Hey, you want to come to my free thing? Hey, I'd love to have a conversation with you. And they're definitely open to all that. And then we begin to cultivate these relationships for business and for life.
You're right. So you're thinking about it in such a applicable. I was going to say accessible, but the word applicable is also good. It's such an easy way to think about it that's not super scary, versus thinking about it as, oh my God, 400 people in the audience.
Well, yeah. I mean, the audience sizes range from, I guess, 4,000 to 4,000.
Yeah.
You know, but most of them are smaller, right? You know, 20, 30, 40, 60. And also what I do, here's a super tip, Susie, is you take a screenshot every time you're in a Zoom room, and then you go and look up the people after and you see who is a good match for you. Like, you know, Susie, I only work with women. I gave a speech this morning. There was more than half guys there. So if they reach out to me, I'm going to be nice and gracious and say, you know, thank you for reaching out. But I'm not reaching out to them as potential clients because they're not. And not everyone is everybody's potential client. So always take a screenshot. But then the other super tip is that you have to schedule time for immediately after that meeting to do the reach outs. Hey, great to be with you. Here's my free stuff. Would you like to come to my thing? Would you like to connect? And to do exactly what you're suggesting. And I would say, let's make it at least two people that you're like, okay, who's here that really is a great client for me? Let me go deeper with them right away. Yeah. Because people are like last night's dinner. And what I mean by that is you remember this morning how amazing that meal was. But next week, if I said, what did you have for dinner Monday night? You might not even remember.
No clue.
That's why we want to follow up right away so that they remember that they remember us. And then if we were the speaker, that they remembered that they enjoyed our talk.
That's right. And I'm just having a little bit of a memory here of a social club that I went to once in person in Toronto. And it was a lovely group, well-organized, been around for 100 years, literally 100 years. And I remember after the meeting, I did get follow-up phone calls. So even though it wasn't in a professional capacity, it was in a strictly volunteer social type of situation, the follow-up was so good. And so the structure that they had, they understood the importance of it, and there were definite follow-ups. So if you're not an entrepreneur or you're not used to doing this sort of thing in like formal or informal networking, you can absolutely think of some volunteer things that you've done or some social settings where maybe you were a guest or even at a wedding where you had an opportunity to go, ooh, I want to make sure that I follow up.
Right.
And you can get good at it.
Right. And I will say, Susie, I schedule time for follow-up after social events also. And what I'm suggesting is that at the time you put that wedding on your calendar, put a half an hour the next morning for follow-up on there too. Now, maybe you don't need it, but probably you will need it. Or you said to, you know, the person across the table, you said, oh, I'm going to send you my guacamole recipe. You don't want to forget, because again, that's social capital to do what you said you were going to do.
That is such a great example of, yeah, like, because if you say you're going to send it and then you don't,
right,
nobody gets the opportunity to remember that you're so amazing at that.
Right. Right.
And so and good.
We all have the intention, but we don't necessarily have the time. So at the time you put any event on your calendar, virtual, live, social, business, schedule at that exact same time some time for follow-up and any to-dos from that event.
Yeah, definitely. And what kind of advice would you give to other women in the middle out there who are in midlife and are kind of in that funky phase where they're not exactly sure what to do next about what they actually want? So you meet a lot of women who want to do things but aren't clear. So what would you say?
Well, the first thing is go on a woman's retreat. Go, and here's my point. Get out of your own regular environment. Get away from the regular people in your life. Not that they're not wonderful and amazing. They see you in a particular way. Go be with a new group of gals. You might know some of those gals already, but go be with a group of gals in a different environment where it's about time for reflection and pampering and connection and fun activities. You know, I like to host afternoon tea with fascinators, when we have our retreats. We're doing a jewelry exchange. I haven't told anybody yet, but we're hiring pedicabs to drive us all around San Diego. So, you know, you do things you wouldn't do in your normal environment. I remember once, Susie, I think the most fun thing I've ever done with the ladies is we did grape stomping in Napa Valley.
Like Lucy?
Yeah, like Lucy. Yeah, that was so fun. And go and get away. And that will not only rejuvenate you, but you know what? The women will reflect to you what they see in you. And that will be significant. It's very cup filling. It's very energizing. And it can be really life changing. And I go on, you know, I lead retreats, but I also go on other people's retreats because that fills my cup in a different way. And I'm so glad that you are hosting your retreats now, Susie, and especially for women in midlife. You know, some women have husbands that don't want to travel, or some women like me, they're single and they don't want to go to Timbuktu by themselves because they know it would be more fun with girlfriends, but their girlfriends don't want to go. So that's why you go on a retreat with other women.
Yeah, it's so easy to do. It's so easy to do. And if you talk to people with all these new connections you're making, somebody has a great referral for you. And we certainly have great referrals for you, for sure. And you know, what you said about getting out of your normal environment is so important. And that idea of novelty has come up in several different ways on the podcast. And there's actually solid research about the importance of novelty to help get you out of a funk in relationships. Wonderful. And in just your thoughts about what's going on and what's possible for you. It can really shake you up. And I love the idea that you're talking to new people that will see you differently. I had a conversation with somebody this week, somebody I'd known a little bit over the years, but not super well. I interviewed her, and afterwards, I could see something she didn't see. And I asked if she minded if I gave her some unsolicited advice. And she was open to it. My kids are always telling me, Mom, I didn't ask for your opinion. I'm like, yeah, I know. But I'm going to give it to you anyway. You don't have to take it. Anyway, I gave it to her. And then the next day, I got a thank you note telling me that it was so insightful. She didn't think of herself that way, the way I explained. And she made a video based on this new idea for herself. That was the easiest video she ever made because it was such a direct hit. So being with people who don't know you in the same way, haven't heard all your stories, and they're just getting fresh, just real in the moment you, it really is a beautiful opportunity to connect and to listen to feedback. That's so good. Okay, so going on a women's retreat, shaking things up a little bit, getting out of your normal environment, that's pretty good. Any other ideas?
Yeah. When I first started my business, I had a guiding principle. It was take a risk a day. Now, a risk does not mean bungee jumping. It means anything that makes you a little bit uncomfortable. And that might be, for me, before going to an event where I didn't know anybody would make me so uncomfortable. That would be a big risk. Today, I feel much more comfortable because I've walked into so many rooms, or picking up the phone and calling someone and asking for help or asking for a favor. By the way, I have a super tip. I just listened to this book about the likability factor, and it said when we ask people for favors, our likability increases, which I thought was very interesting. And it's interesting for women because so often we hesitate, Susie, to make any kind of request.
Correct.
I want to encourage people. Make powerful requests. It will change your life and uplift your life. And that could be, for one woman, that could be her risk every day, is to ask somebody for something. Be willing to be uncomfortable is absolutely required to get from where we are to where we want to be. And the other thing, Susie, is determination is what we have to do with our disappointment, our distress, our distraughtness, our depressoness. We got to take all that and turn it into determination. And I would say, having gone through a difficult divorce that left me in a very challenging place, that what got me to the other side is determination. And I'm so grateful now that I proved to myself, hey, I can overcome challenges because I know how to be determined.
So good. Katarina, tell us, how can somebody get a hold of you?
Thank you, my friend. Well, let's see. You can reach me at katarinarando.com, katerinarando.com. I am, of course, also on LinkedIn, and I am very much on Facebook. I talk to my gals all day on Facebook. Please send me a friend request. But of course, if you heard about me here, please let me know, because every friend of Susie's and every listener of Susie's is a friend of mine. And what I do is I support women with their authentic selling. I host also retreats for public speaking, and I host a bliss retreat for women leaders on a mission. And we're just getting ready to host our first Women in Podcasting Mastermind cruise. So if you want to come and be with the ladies and also learn how to cultivate your own community, please reach out to me. I'm here to support and serve women. That's the purpose I give my life.
Well, and you know, I'm pretty interested in that last retreat. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I got dates for you too, my friend.
Oh, they're going to be blocked off. That's for sure. Katarina, thank you so much. Really. Anytime. I'm so grateful that we met in the land of internet and that somehow we got brought together, and I'm in your world and you're in my world. And, I'm just so excited to keep learning and growing and keep getting those super tips. And I'm so glad that I'm introducing you to the women in the middle here.
I'm so grateful, my friend. Love to you.
Thank you. Well, there you go. Super tips galore. I love how Katarina put a big giant spotlight on the importance of determination when it comes to overcoming challenges. I don't know about you, but I see so many amazing women in the middle taking their foot off the brake of determination and quitting too soon. It's almost as if we believe that things should be easier than they are. We all wish that, but we know it's not true. Turning disappointment into determination is a powerful skill. Katarina also highlights the importance of getting more comfortable asking for things. This is super challenging for so many of us. You might find yourself resisting or hesitating. And this is a great thing to be curious about. Why do you think you're doing this? What are you thinking that's getting in the way of what will likely be something that will help you build the bridge, as Katarina said, from where you are to where you want to be? So much goodness in this episode. I hope you loved it. All right, that's it for this episode. As you know, this podcast is all about how to love your life again after 50. It's really all about coaching you to be more intentional and to incorporate mindfulness into your life as a regular practice. This is how you put yourself on your agenda. My focus as your midlife coach is to help you get unstuck, clear, and focused on your current values and priorities so you don't have regrets. I can help you create the success you're looking for. Seriously, if you're ready to change your life and learn the skills to unstick yourself with some masterful coaching, a top-notch curriculum, an infusion of creativity, and a warm, fun, and awesome community of like-minded women, let's talk about it. I would love to help you get unstuck and be happier and more fulfilled than ever before. So go ahead and book your momentum call at www.womeninthemiddleacademy.com. And we will chat. And finally, for show notes and links, head over to www.susierosenstein.com and click the podcast tab and look for episode 351. You will also see links there for my new show, Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs. Thanks so much for listening. It is time for you to put yourself first, one thought at a time. I'm Susie Rosenstein, and I'll talk to you next week.